Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth has to fight for time alone with God.
It's a recurring battle for me, I'll tell you that. But I believe it's a battle worth fighting. The devil knows if he can stop me here, I can do all kinds of things for God, but not really be fruitful and not be any threat to the devil's program.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of A Place of Quiet Rest. For January 4th, 2022, I'm Dana Gresh. It's always a good time to start spending time with God in His Word and in prayer, but I think this is an important reminder to begin forming habits here at the start of 2022. Yesterday, Nancy began showing us the incredible busyness of Jesus. Here's Nancy continuing in the series, Discovering the Joy of Daily Devotions.
Luke chapter 5 tells us that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He left the crowd, went and got with his Father. And in this passage, we see in Mark 1 that it was none too soon, because verse 36 tells us, Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." I was talking with a mom of 6 children on the phone yesterday, ages 7 and down. She's got 7-year-old triplets and then 3 other children younger than that. And she said to me, she said she was praying that her, like, 7-month-old baby, I think, would sleep a little longer than 5 o'clock in the morning. She says, I'll do anything to get that time with the Lord first thing in the morning. She wants it, she craves it, because she knows that once that little one is up, her day is off and running, and it's going to be very hard to get a quiet time, a quiet place, and a quiet heart the rest of the day. Now let me just say to moms, don't put yourself on a guilt trip about this, okay? Moms or anybody else. God knows your heart. He knows if your heart is to seek Him, and if you will seek Him with the moments you have, I believe God can and will expand those moments. But they said, "Everyone is looking for you," and Jesus said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns." Right at the height of his popularity there in Capernaum. "Let us go on that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. How did he know it was time to go on? Where did he get the wisdom, the direction for his day? Where did he get his to-do list for the day? He got it in that time alone with his Heavenly Father. So the priority of a devotional life. Now let me just touch briefly on some of the purposes of a devotional life. And I'm just going to touch on these, but I hope they'll whet your appetite. There are 8 of them, and let me give them to you in 2 sets of 4. The first set relates to our inner life, our inner walk. And the first, and I think the highest and holiest purpose of a devotional life, is communion with God. Fellowship with God, friendship with God, knowing God. We're talking here about a relationship. God told, in Exodus 29, he gave the purpose for the tabernacle. It's just a tent. But he said, "That's the place where I will meet with you and speak to you." We go to our devotional life to meet with God, to let him speak to us and to speak to him. God said, Moses says to the Lord in Exodus 33, "Teach me your ways so that I may know you." And we read in the passage we heard about last night that the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Listen, we're not talking here about having devotions or doing your devotions like it's something you just check off your to-do list so they had my devotions, now I can go on to the next thing. We're talking about devotion. Devotion. Some of us have had devotions, and I have many days in my life had devotions, but I haven't had devotion. You know the difference? Communion, friendship, fellowship with God. Second purpose is purification of my heart and my life. This is where God's word shines the light on the real me. The dark places of my heart, the hidden places of my heart. This is where I pray, "Lord, search me and know me, try me. Show me if there's any wicked way in me. Don't show me what my press reports say, my press releases. Show me what you know." This is where I confess and I say, "Lord, wash me, cleanse me," purification. Number 3, restoration of my soul. He restores my soul in this quiet time, this devotional time with the Lord. Listen, you know it. The world is loud and noisy and busy. And it never ceases to press in on us. And so many of us today are living with our tongues hanging out, and we're distracted, and we're discouraged, and we're distressed. It's time in God's presence that quiets our hearts and restores our souls. This is where we get replenished, the resources that have been depleted as we've given out to others. This is where we get filled back up. This is where God calms our spirits and settles our hearts, where we get renewed strength and power to go back out and do it again. Restoration. And then number four, in this time we receive instruction in the ways of God. Instruction in the ways of God. This psalm I've been meditating on this week, Psalm 27, the psalmist prays, "Teach me your way, O Lord." Lord, I want to know your way. I want to know how you think. I want to know what matters to you. I want to know how you work. I don't want to know the world's ways of thinking. I can get that in plenty of places, but I want to know your ways. Instruct me, oh God. And then four purposes that relate to our outer walk, which is the outflow of our inner heart. The fifth purpose, submission to God and His will. It's in this time alone with the Lord that I get an alignment. I go sometimes to the chiropractor when my shoulder, from spending so much time on my laptop, my shoulder starts to, gets out of alignment. It hurts. So I go to the chiropractor and he cracks it, he adjusts it, he aligns, something's out of alignment. It feels strange and it sometimes is not all that comfortable, but when he's done, it feels so good to have things back in alignment, doesn't it? This is where we get our wills aligned to His will. Where we say, "Not my will, but yours be done, O Lord." And this is where I get direction, number six, direction for my life, my relationships, my responsibilities. We hear so many voices today yelling at us about what we're supposed to be doing and what we're supposed to be thinking. We need to be still enough, quiet enough, long enough to hear His voice and get His counsel. To let Him give me His assignments for my day, His priorities for my day. We're so stressed trying to keep all those balls up in the air. And I think sometimes we just need to stop and say, "Lord, are these the balls you're wanting me to be juggling right now? Maybe it's not the season for that ball, for that task. What really matters?" And then number seven, intercession on behalf of the needs of others. Intercession. This is where we take the needs of those that we love before the throne of God's grace. We say, "Oh Lord, I can't fix this person. I can't change them. I can't help them. I can't meet their need, but you can. Oh God, would you do it?" Intercession. And then finally, and this is one of my very favorites, transformation. Transformation into the likeness of Jesus. We all with unveiled faces, 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us, with unveiled faces we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. What did David say? He wanted to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And what happens as we behold? We are transfigured. Not just changed on the outside to look like good Christians, but made new on the inside. We are transfigured, we are transformed into His likeness from glory to glory to glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I find myself thinking as I look at myself, I live with myself, and I think, "Oh, I have so far to go. I'm so not like Jesus in these areas." How do you get to be like Jesus? You get to be like the ones you spend the most time with. You don't get to be like Jesus just by going to Bible college. You get to be like Jesus by being with Jesus. And that's where He transforms us into His likeness. Let me spend just a few moments talking about the practice of a daily devotional life. And I want to give you a few general suggestions and then a few specific practical suggestions. The practice of a devotional life, first of all, generally speaking, it needs to be regular. Jesus often withdrew. and went to solitary places and prayed. In the tabernacle, you read in Exodus 30 that the priests were to offer sacrifices and incense every morning and every evening. Every morning, every evening. Every morning, every evening. Every morning, every evening. You say, didn't that get to be like just a religious routine? Yeah, it did. And in fact, that's why Jesus came, to put new wine into those wineskins, to get rid of those old wineskins, and to say, here's life for that routine. But I'll tell you this, I found out that it's a whole lot easier to breathe fresh life into an existing routine than it is to find that fresh life if you don't have any routine at all. So yes, you want to keep it fresh. Yes, you need to guard against it becoming just a routine. But don't throw off the routine just because it's become routine. There's some days when, for me, my quiet time feels like, you know, just trudging through it, and I'm so distracted. I'm telling you, it's amazing where my mind goes when I sit down in that quiet time chair. I get a new burden for house cleaning. I mean, it's just incredible. But I say to, you know, body, you are going to sit here. And some days it just feels like this is so purposeless. This is so meaningless. But I'll tell you, in the big picture, the big scope of things, I look back and I see God shaping and molding and building and growing and conforming my life because of that time sitting spent in His presence. D.L. Moody, whose birthday we celebrate this week, said, "A man can no more take in a supply of grace for the future then he can eat enough for the next 6 months or take sufficient air into his lungs at one time to sustain life for a week. We must draw upon God's boundless store of grace from day to day as we need it." It needs to be regular. Number two, it needs to be... You know, I used to be a little sheepish about saying this because I knew I was going to get some pushback in people's minds. But now that I look at the Word and how many times it emphasizes this, I think it's not something we should be embarrassed to say. I think ideally, this time we set apart to be alone with the Lord should be early in the day. You say, how early? I can't tell you how early, but I know Isaiah 50 says he wakens me, morning by morning. Ask God when He wants to waken you, and then be willing to get up when He does. God said to Moses, "Be ready in the morning and come up and meet with me." Psalm 88, "In the morning my prayer comes before you." Psalm 5, "My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord." Psalm 58, this is a verse I wish was not in the Bible, but it is, "Awake my soul, I will awaken the dawn." Psalm 119, "I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word." Psalm 143, "Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning." Some of you are thinking, I'm just not a morning person. And I think we are wired differently. I will grant you that. But I'll tell you what, you'd be probably more of a morning person if you got to bed earlier at night. So just remember, a morning devotional life starts the night before. You say, "I can't go to bed 10 o'clock like your dad did." I'm not telling you when to go to bed. I'm not telling you when to get up. I'm just saying, if the number one desire of your heart is to know God, then you will do whatever it takes to seek His heart and to cultivate spiritual hunger. Number three, it needs to be alone. Alone, a solitary place, away from the crowd. Jesus, Mark 6, when He had sent them away, He departed to the mountain to pray. I love that essay that Elise wrote, and I want to read the whole thing. Elise, that was so powerful about being saturated in noise and how afraid we are of silence, of stillness. This is a techno generation, and we're always plugged into something, always have noises going. You will not get to know the God of the universe in a crowd or with noise constantly bombarding you. You've got to have time that is quiet, where you get a quiet place, a quiet heart. You turn off the radio. I hate to be saying this while we're on the radio at the moment, and I thank the Lord for Moody Radio, but there are times when you need to turn off your Christian radio station too. Times when you need to unplug the electronics, the email, the Facebook, the whatever. Then let me just suggest a few specific ingredients, and I don't have time to do this justice, but let me just say to you that a number of years ago, in partnership with Moody Publishing, I wrote two books to help encourage people wanting to know how to have a daily devotional life. People kept asking me for resources. I knew they were hungry, and I could find a lot of devotional books, but I couldn't find a book on how to have a daily quiet time and have a meaningful time with the Lord. So I wasn't a writer, I didn't aspire to be a writer, but the Lord orchestrated my path to connect with Moody, and we wrote this book called A Place of Quiet Rest, Finding Intimacy with God Through a Daily Devotional Life. And if you need some help on getting started, let me encourage you perhaps to pick up a copy of that book. It's available, I believe, at the Resource Center here. And then a companion book, if you need a track to go on for these next 30 days, as I'm gonna give you that challenge in just a moment. Here's a help for some of you. If you don't already have your own track, it's a 30-day walk with God in the Psalms. Now, I'll just tell you in advance, don't try to do it in 30 days. It really should have been called a 30-day jog with God in the Psalms. Take 60 days, take 90 days, take whatever it takes. The goal is not to get through the book and fill in the blanks. The goal is to know God, to seek His heart, and those resources are available if they'd be helpful to you. But you want to make sure that in your quiet time, in your devotional life, you have a balance of receiving from the Lord and responding to Him. Receiving from Him in His Word. Receiving from Him in His Word. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And I'll just say, students, thank the Lord for the privilege of a Moody Bible Institute education. But all I'm going to tell you, here's the but. I want to tell you, you do not get to know God if the only time you spend with Him is in a classroom. And if the only time you open this book is to study for a test or to write a paper. You've got to get into this book and let this book get into you, just you and the Lord, cultivating intimacy and relationship with Him, saying, Lord, speak to me. It was my privilege this morning, and I can't say this is true every morning, but I knew I was going to be speaking on this topic, but I had the joy of starting the day in a passage that I wasn't speaking on, just saying, Lord, speak to me, and He did. He did, and He does. You need to be reading this book. That's the number one reason, by the way, people don't get a lot out of the Word of God. They don't read it. See, I can't understand it. You'll get to understand it as you read it. Read it, ponder it, meditate on it, dwell on it, don't hurry through it. Memorize it, meditate on it, practice it, study it, share it with others, reproduce it in others' lives. Tremble at the Word of God. As Augustine said, when the Bible speaks, God speaks. Martin Luther said, the Bible is alive. It runs after me. It has hands that lays hold on me. This is God's Word. Let it speak to you. Let it transform you. Let it fill you and change you. And as you read, as you study, as you memorize, get to Christ. Get to Him. Don't miss Him. Jesus said to the Pharisees, the theologians of His day, you read the Word, but you don't have it in you. And you miss me. It's all about me. Let it point you to Christ. And then make sure you're not just receiving from Him, but responding to Him in worship and in prayer. When I was in my 20s, I used to live, for the most part, in fast food restaurant drive-thrus. You know, give me my tacos to go, give me my, I can't tell you how many Wendy's burgers I had over those years. When I hit 30, something strange happened. I realized I wasn't feeling well. And I knew I had to change my eating habits to nourish my body. I have to confess to you that many times over the years, I have found myself spiritually in fast food drive-thrus as it relates to my time with the Lord. You know, I know it's important, so I'm grabbing a proverb for the day or a psalm for the day, but my heart's not there. I'm not still, not quiet, not really listening, letting the world and ministry crowd out that time with the Lord. I'm so thankful that again and again the Lord brings back my heart, gives me a new hunger and a new heart to seek Him early in the day. It's a recurring battle for me, I'll tell you that. But I believe it's a battle worth fighting. The devil knows if he can stop me here, I can do all kinds of things for God, but not really be fruitful and not be any threat to the devil's program. Say, I don't have time. You have time for Facebook, but not for his book. And what's wrong with that picture? You say, you against Facebook? No, unless it's become an idol in your life and it's stealing time that belongs to the Lord. You see, this whole issue exposes the idols in my life. Anything that crowds out time for God is an idol. Work, study, recreation, physical fitness, relationships, ministry, sleep. We have time for computer games. We're a culture that's always seeking to be amused, entertained, and satisfied. And I'll tell you what Satan does. He sits there and laughs, or down there, wherever he is, laughs because he's got us amusing ourselves to death and never getting truly satisfied with the bread of life. Jesus said to Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but only one thing is absolutely needful. Have you chosen that good part? Are you choosing it? Listen, this time will tether your heart to God, to His kingdom, to His ways. It'll keep you from being set adrift in this world, being driven by your emotions, by circumstances, by other people. Students, let me just tell you this. It will not get any easier when you get out of here. You think you're busy now? I thought I was busy in Bible college. It won't get any easier when you get out into ministry. You've got a family of your own. It will provide a stability for your life, for the storms to come. Remember what Jesus said to the man who built his house on the foundation of a rock? When the storms come, and they will, your house will stand because you are the wise person that Jesus said heard his words and kept them. Psalm 27, I told you I've been meditating on that passage. The psalmist says, you have said, seek my face. The ESV marginal note there says, that command to seek my face is given not just to one person, but to many. God says to all of us, seek my face. But then David personalizes it. And he says, my heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. What's he saying? It doesn't matter whether anybody else does or not. I'm going to be one who will choose that most needful thing.
That's Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth. Now, maybe you've had a long-standing habit of meeting with the Lord in prayer and Bible study. I hope Nancy has encouraged you to keep going in 2022. One way to strengthen your quiet time habit is a resource we're calling the Place of Quiet Rest Journal. Nancy put this together. It's just a practical way to interact with Scripture. You read a passage in your Bible, then in the journal you write down your observations, what it means and how it applies to your life. Then each day also has a place for you to write out your response to God, your prayer, and some takeaway thoughts. It's such a helpful resource, and we'd love to get a copy into your hands. Here in January, the Place of Quiet Rest Journal is our way of saying thank you to you for your donation of any amount. There's more information at reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Tomorrow, Gretchen Saffels joins us to help us understand how we can better bring God's Word into our lives. I was just looking at Gretchen's books online. Do you know that she's one of the breakaway Christian authors of this past year? You're really going to want to hear this conversation with Gretchen tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Thank you. challenging you to make your devotional life a priority. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth calls you to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.